Hi everybody, welcome to this issue of Comic Chronicle. I have a very special guest today, one whose schedule is probably as busy as Chris Hardwick at this point. Go ahead and introduce yourself, good man.
This is Tony Isabella. I have been a comic book writer and editor for 45 years, and currently I'm in the middle of a Black Lightning resurgence with me returning to the character I created in 1977 for DC Comics, Black Lightning, and also eagerly awaiting the Black Lightning TV series that will be appearing on the CW in the mid-season.
Kind of going right into that. Did you ever think, Tony, that this would ever happen with Black Lightning? I mean, we've seen the character on a few animated specials. He's off to the side or something like that. But did you ever think, like, hey, I'm going to see him in his own show?
I always thought so. Mm-hmm. From the moment I created Black Lightning, and I should say Jefferson Pierce because he's the real guy.
Yeah.
The minute I created Jefferson Pierce, I felt that he should be in the top pantheon of DC Comics with Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think previous DC management quite understood the potential of the character. The current DC management is solidly behind the character and his creator. And I think we could see Black Lightning reach those heights. But I always thought he was capable and deserving of those heights.
I can think so, too. I thought so for since I've read the character when I was a kid. I read him in a couple different team books, if I remember correctly. And I'm like, oh, this guy's really cool. He's one of those I thought was really cool. I like the old books, like the first his first issues and whatnot. I love those. I got a couple from the, I hope you're not mad about, like, the dollar bin. Cause some of, like, the littler ones a little bit, not, like, number one or number two. And I read those. I was like, oh, my God, he's really cool.
I don't care how the readers buy these. Or find them. I'm just glad the readers are reading them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's amazing the world we live in now. I mean, we get Black Lightning. Have you been part of the show in any sense? Like, have they come to you for help or anything?
Well, early on, when DC Comics and I started talking about kind of getting back together, one of the first things, once I realized that I wanted to work with the new management at DC and vice versa, one of the first things they asked me to do was to prepare a paper on Black Lightning's core values. Because I'm a core values kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
I understand characters change and evolve, but they have to be true to their core values. So DC asked me to write this paper on core values. And as I understand it, that was kind of the starting point. Then after DC hired Salim and Brock Akil,
mm-hmm,
to be the showrunners of a Black Lightning TV series, early on we had a long conference call. DC set up a conference call with Salim and Mara and myself. We talked a lot of stuff about the character. I answered their questions. Salim and I, as possible, have kept in touch. And then a few months back, Salim flew me into Burbank, California, to meet with the writing staff of the Black Lightning TV show.
Oh, wow.
Which was a thrill. You walk into that writer's room, you see the big whiteboard that I can't tell you exactly what's on it,
mm-hmm,
but it's like roughly broken down the first season of 13 episodes. And I recognize so much of myself on that board. And then on the other side of the wall, there are drawings and of characters, photos of characters that have already been cast, a list of character names. And again, a whole lot of me is on that board. And I'm talking to the writers, and they're bringing such great ideas to the characters.
Mm-hmm.
And they're asking questions. They're asking me questions about things I wrote 40 years ago. So they have not just read the Black Lightning comic books, they have studied them. I am someone who recognizes that comic books and TV, comic books and movies are not the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But there is so much of the comic books in what I've seen of the show, and in talking to these writers, that I'm thrilled beyond words. And they have indicated that sometime this year they want to fly me to Atlanta to meet with the cast and to do some publicity and things like that. Cress Williams, who plays Black Lightning, who plays Jefferson Pierce,
mm-hmm.
is something of a comics fan.
Ooh.
So Cress and I have already been corresponding from time to time.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, I don't have an official position with the show, so people can stop asking me to get them writing and acting jobs on it. But I kind of consider myself the unofficial head cheerleader for the show.
Yeah, that's the best point of that. You're like the Nathan Fillion on Castle. He's not a police officer, but he's there kind of like helping out a little bit too.
Yeah, I mean that's I'm there to do whatever they need to help them do their jobs and to bring this great character to TV and mm-hmm. and to entertain viewers. And that's the same way I am with DC and not just the Black Lightning comic books, but I've got a real good relationship with DC Comics now. When they need something from me, whether it's doing publicity on Black Lightning, whether it's helping them put together trade paperbacks, whether it's giving them my opinion when they ask for it on other things, I am not exclusive to DC Comics, but I'm always willing to help when I can.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, most definitely. Now, can you maybe give a little hint? Will we see, because I think the character, because they almost always do this, is will we see maybe a Black Lightning comic book? Like, here's a new series coming up pretty soon?
I have already written the first four of a 6-issue series called Black Lightning Cold Dead Hands.
Oh.
The first issue of this comes out Wednesday on November 1st. It's drawn by the brilliant Clayton Henry, who is an artist who can nail both the superhero stuff and the human drama that's always been so important in Jefferson Pierce's story.
Mm-hmm.
DC Comics, when they asked me to write the series, and I said, well, what Black Lightning do you want me to write, since there have been so many Black Lightnings, versions of them, although they've all been essentially the same character, they said I could do whatever I want.
Oh, wow.
So I pretty much discarded 40 years of continuity. Same core values, same character. But he's younger than I've ever written him before.
Mm-hmm.
He's, to my mind, smarter than I've ever written him before. He has an actual family. He still builds families around him, but he's now got an actual family.
Okay.
He's still a school teacher. And the story is set, the series is set in Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh, wow.
Not exactly the same Cleveland as the one I grew up in,
mm-hmm.
but sort of the DC Comics Universe version of Cleveland. There are new characters that are being introduced in the series. There are old characters, such as Tommy Calavito and Tobias Whale, which I've redesigned and reworked. And my editor, Jim Chadwick, gives me better notes than any editor I've ever had.
Really?
I seldom have an editor so concerned with not me telling the story he wants, but helping me tell the best story I can.
Now, that's amazing. That you don't hear that too often, because usually all right, you don't hear that really at all. I've never heard that too much. I hear it every now and then, but that's fantastic.
Well, in all honesty, I've had great editors in my 45 years in comics,
mm-hmm.
but, basically they fall into two camps. The editors pretty much just leave me on my own, and then there's the editors I don't like working with, the guys who try to turn you into a typist
oh.
and tell their stories instead of your stories.
Yeah. Those are the horror stories I've heard.
Jim Chadwick is just an amazing editor. Mm-hmm. Right down the line, the support from DC Comics on this new comic series, they call it a miniseries. I don't call it a miniseries. Yeah. It's a six-issue series, which I hope does well enough that I'll be writing Black Lightning for, you know, the rest of my life. But every level, the coloring is great, the lettering is great. DC Publicity is knocking themselves out promoting this book.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the best experiences of my long career.
Wow. It is a resurgence, and it is a resurgence that's well-deserved. And I'm happy to hear that you've been working on a book and happy to hear you're getting all this stuff because it is well-deserved. The old saying comes true, and in this moment, great things to do take time. And I'd rather we get everything going on right now with the character than say about 10, 20 years ago because maybe they wouldn't have done it right. But now with them handling characters the way they do with interpretation and everything like that, it's the perfect timing for him to come in.
Well, let's say, in a lot of ways, my career has been defined by my work with characters of color.
Mm-hmm.
Early on at Marvel, I mean, I have to say, the reason I wanted to work with characters of color when I first got into the industry in 1972 was I grew up in Cleveland, a very segregated city.
Yes.
Racism was common, even within my own family. My first black friends were comic book fans.
Hmm.
And it struck me, the word diversity wasn't even in my vocabulary really back then.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt it was unfair that my black friends didn't have more characters like them in the comics. So that when I got into the comics, along with guys like Don McGregor and Roy Thomas and Marv Wolfman, I wanted to bring more characters of color into the comics to work on those characters. And that led me to DC, where I created Black Lightning, my own, you know, original character of color. Since then, I've, you know, gone on to talk about diversity at colleges and libraries. I gave a 2.5-hour lecture a couple weeks ago at the University of Akron on the subject. In May, Don McGregor and I were honored with Lifetime Achievement Awards from the East Coast Black Age of Comics Convention.
Wow.
Which is a wonderful, smallish convention devoted to creators of color, characters of color, and fans of those characters,
mm-hmm.
and historians studying those characters. And not only was it one of the greatest honors of my life, but being able to get the award at the same time as my dear friend Don McGregor, who I've known for my entire professional career, that made it a really special evening.
Wow. It's almost,
there's so much coming up that I can't even tell you about.
Oh, I bet, yeah.
Yet.
Yeah.
It's been an incredible journey, and it looks like it's going to continue for some time to come.
Yeah, it's the life of dreams. I mean, as a kid, did you think, first getting in the comics, did you think, like, maybe any of this would happen? Because, you know, as he said, Black Lightning, you knew it could be turned into a TV show, but did you think, like, maybe it would get ever discontinuing, or was there probably a point where you're like, I don't know if this will actually work out, or anything like that?
Well, to be honest, you know, when I was growing up, it was like July of 1963
mm-hmm.
that I realized people got paid for doing comic books. That was on a very boring family trip. I was 12 years old, buying comic books at every stop along the way, and my parents were objecting to my spending my souvenir money on comic books. So when we got to one of our destinations, I was told I could only buy one more comic book on that trip, and so I was going to show them. I was going to buy a quarter comic.
Okay.
The thing is, the only quarter comic I didn't already have, because I wasn't really interested at that point in the Archies or things like that, was Fantastic Four Annual #1.
Oh, wow.
And to show you how defiant I was, I didn't even like Fantastic Four. I had read one issue before then and hadn't liked it. But something about that Fantastic Four Annual Number One, it was just such a great comic book. And I decided that I wanted to write comic books.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I'm old and crazy, I just published earlier this year a book called July 1963, A Pivotal Month in the Comic Book Life of Tony Isabella, Volume 1. Because what I'm doing is buying, reading, and writing about every one of the 138 comic books that came out that month.
Oh my God.
It's a fun book, but it'll take me another, like, 7 years to get all 8 volumes out.
Oh, wow.
I did have a backup plan.
Okay.
Because nobody really thought that you could, you know, get a job in comics back in 63.
Yeah.
But my backup plan was to become Clark Kent. I went to work for the Cleveland Plain Dealer, which is a typical big city tool of the rich and the powerful.
Yeah.
Hated it there. We went on strike. The publisher called his good buddy the mayor, and our picket line was attacked by mounted policemen. I was knocked to the ground by a terrified copy editor, and a horse's hoof landed on the ground like inches away from my face. I've never seen a horse's hoof that close up before or since. I dusted myself off, went home, called Roy Thomas, who I'd been corresponding with. He was the new editor-in-chief at Marvel, and asked if there were any kind of an entry-level job at Marvel. Well, Roy knew my work from writing for Comics Fanzine and from our correspondence, and offered me a job working with Stan Lee on the World of Marvel, which was the British weeklies that we used to produce in New York, but they would be published overseas. And that's pretty much the start of it. I took the job. I was in New York within 2 weeks. Once you're on staff, they start giving you freelance because the staff jobs didn't pay well. And before I knew it, I was writing a bunch of comics and editing comics and magazines, and I had launched my career.
Wow.
I wasn't a big fan of New York City
after
the first few years, so eventually I moved back to my native Ohio. But I've always been working on some level in comics for the past 45 years, whether it's been running a comic book store, writing comic books, writing about comic books. I did ghostwriting on newspaper comic strips for several years. I've always been involved in comics as my profession.
You found a good calling, and I can't say personally for myself. Well, I can't speak for everyone involved, but with doing as long as you have and the great work that you've done too, I mean, I'd want to hear people's inspiration stories that you've probably heard them already too. The people that you've reached with your work. People's lives that you probably changed. I'm betting when you're going out and doing all this publicity that you're being able to hear this. So, I mean, have you at least?
One of the most touching moments, and it's happened several times, is when a black comics fan, black comics reader, will come up to me almost with tears in their eyes and tell me how Black Lightning was the first comic they ever bought for themselves because it was the first time they saw themselves in a comic book.
Wow.
I know, I gave early work or starts to several comics professionals. I know there are other comics professionals who were inspired, not just by me, but also Trevor Von Eden, who drew the original Black Lightning series, was like 16, 17 years old. You know, we threw him in the deep end of the pool, and he turned out to be a magnificent swimmer. Trevor, being black and being so young, also inspired a lot of creators. And it's, I was treated very kindly mm-hmm. by the older professionals when I got in, even before I got into the business. People like Murray Boltonoff at DC and Carmine Infantino at DC and Dick Giordano and Roy Thomas and Steve Englehart at Marvel and Jim Steranko and Jack Kirby made time for me before I even got into the business. And then when I got into the business, the older professionals like Stan and Roy mm-hmm. and Sal Brosky, Mike Esposito, Frank Giacoya, they were all very kind to me, taught me stuff. And so there's an obligation, as I see it, to try to pay that forward. So mm-hmm. when I can help out, I do.
Wow. You're living the life, Tony. I mean, that's
it's
beautiful to hear,
too. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy. I'm doing a lot of conventions. I'm doing publicity. I'm picking up these awards. I'm lecturing. The saving grace to all this is that when I come home from these things where people tell me how wonderful I am,
mm-hmm.
I have to change the cat litter.
Oh.
Put out the trash, clean the kitchen, straighten up the house.
Yeah.
And all that, all that normal stuff. And I'm hoping that keeps me balanced, because the last thing in the world I want to do is turn into one of those jerks who's full of himself.
Oh.
I've seen it happen in comics.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be one of those guys.
No, I don't think it can ever happen. And as a guy who works at a zoo, I think the kitty litter will keep you in check on that one. I think it definitely will. Wow. I like to ask this question of people who've worked with in comics and worked alongside television shows and whatnot, and sets perfectly with you. Have you been able to keep anything from the Black Lightning set or been given a gift? Like, what would be your favorite, or if not, what would be your favorite gift you've received from a fan?
Well, gift I would give or a gift I would receive?
Oh, gifts that you have received, like something that they're like, well, we want to pay tribute to, so we give you this from the television show set, or if they haven't given you anything
nothing
yet.
Nothing like that yet, because obviously they're filming the television show, so they need everything on the set.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
I have received, when I was in Burbank, Celine Akeel gave me a Black Lightning ball cap.
Oh, wow.
And my understanding, those were what they were wearing when they filmed the presentation piece. They filmed like a 20-minute presentation piece,
yeah.
And that's what the trailer was taken from. And I get the feeling that these hats are pretty rare because they were kind of disappearing from the set. So I have a Black Lightning hat. I've been given artwork over the years by people,
mm-hmm.
On Black Lightning, not a lot of physical gifts, but they're going to be available. And of course, just things like, I never thought, because as I said, the previous DC management was never very high on Black Lightning.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought they'd be reprinting my Black Lightning stories, and I've been involved with those trade paperbacks. We started out saying that we were going to need two trade paperbacks reprinting my 70s work and my 90s work, and as we were putting together the first volume, which I wrote a new introduction for,
ooh.
Dan DiDio, who's one of the co-publishers of DC,
yeah.
said, I know we were just talking about reprinting your stories, but if we reprint these two stories by Denny O'Neill that came at the end of your run, I could have the whole Black Lightning series in one volume. and it occurred to me right then and there that the fans will want all these stories, whether I wrote them or not. There are Black Lightning fans. I like to think all of them feel that I wrote Black Lightning better than anybody, but there are Black Lightning fans who want all the stories. So as a result of this conversation with Dan, we postponed reprinting my 90s series so that the next volume of Black Lightning will have the stories that appeared in the 1980s, none of which were written by me, although I did write a new introduction for the book.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third volume will have my 90s series. So, you know, being able to work on stuff like that, being able to have those books to give out as gifts is pretty cool, too.
Oh, yeah.
Because that kind of, you know, that kind of solves a lot of my Christmas shopping problem.
Oh, what'd you get from Tony? Oh, I got what? It's square, so, and rectangular. I wonder what it is.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know. Now we're going to be. There's some great Black Lightning T-shirts available.
Mm-hmm.
A company called Black Action Tees has a couple of Black Lightning T-shirts.
Yeah.
A company called Stylin' Online has some Black Lightning T-shirts. And other T-shirts involving characters of color from the Luke Cage show. I have a Pop's Barbershop shirt. And that's something else I should mention. DC's treating me really well. So is Marvel.
Yes, yes.
Marvel flew Marvel Jones and I to New York to attend the premiere of Luke Cage at the Magic Johnson Theater in Harlem. Marvel and I were on the red carpet.
Wow.
In my blog, which is called Tony Isabella's Bloggy Thing,
mm-hmm.
from last year, there are all sorts of photos from that event, including a great shot of Arvel and I with the great Simone Messick, who plays Misty Knight.
Yes.
Earlier this year, Marvel flew Arvel and I to New York for a special screening of The Defenders, which had, you know, Misty Knight in it. Mm. And, of course, at that time, I was able to plan my trip better to stay in New York a few extra days, so I got to kind of reconnect with my old stomping grounds and have dinner with Larry Lieber, a longtime friend, Stanley's brother, longtime friend. His Rawhide Kid stories were among my favorites. So being able to spend a night with Larry Lieber was really cool.
Wow. Yeah, that's...
So that depends. I mean, I get invited to conventions. I get to meet new people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so many things I want to do before I kick the bucket. I have a bucket list of over 300 things I want to do right before I kick the bucket. Success of Black Lightning will allow me to do many of these things.
What? Yeah, I mean, some of them have to be have crossed off by now. I mean, a good majority at this point with everything going on, I mean, it really has to.
Hello?
Oh, do you still, okay, I'm like, oh no.
I was done talking, I was waiting for your next question.
Oh, okay, I must have broke up because I was talking, I'm like, oh no, the phone broke. Oh, God. I did want to transition, though, into Marvel a little bit. He did it perfectly. You segued perfectly. I didn't know you were on those premieres. How was it with Misty Knight? Are you happy with the incarnation they got with her? I mean, obviously, we know her future going in.
As I've told Simone, because I correspond with her from time to time,
mm-hmm.
her version of Misty Knight, the one she portrays, is by far my favorite version of Misty Knight.
Oh, wow.
If Marvel ever asked me to write Misty Knight again, I would base it on Simone's version. I love what she does. I love the Luke Cage show.
Yes.
Wonderful show. Misty Knight was the thing I had agreed to write 3 issues of Iron Fist to wrap up all the loose ends.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because Iron Fist was one of those books that almost had a different writer every issue. And I was brought in to finish, tie up all the loose plot threads. And then I was, if I had time, I would have stayed on the book. And the thing I really hated about Iron Fist was all the second person captions.
Yeah.
You are Iron Fist. You are punching somebody in the face. You are getting kicked in the ass. I hated writing those captions. So I said, he needs somebody to talk to. So Arnold Jones and Ron Wilson and Keith Pollard and I used to go out to movies with the younger black artists that mm-hmm. were coming into Marvel. And so we saw a lot of black exploitation films. And there was this movie, Black Belt Jones, not a great movie, starring Jim Kelly. but it also starred Gloria Hendry as this really kick-ass martial artist.
Hmm.
And after the movie, I told Arlo, who was already going to be drawing Iron Fist, the three issues that I was writing, I said, we need somebody like Gloria Hendry's character in this book. So when I created Misty Knight, who I actually told Arlo she should look like Pam Grier, who was another favorite of mine,
wow.
I wanted her to be kind of, I didn't envision a romantic relationship between her and Danny.
Mm-hmm.
She was going to be the snarky older sister, forever taking Danny down a peg for his naivety. And so that was what I wanted to do with her. She was going to be the older sister, and again, somebody that Danny could talk to,
mm-hmm.
and vice versa, so that I could, and she'd be fighting side by side with him, so I would never have to write those "You are Iron Fist" captions again.
Yeah.
As it turned out, I didn't have time to stay on the book, and from that point on, Chris Claremont did all the heavy lifting on Misty Knight and did a great job of it. And other writers have written her well. Not every writer has written her well, but,
yeah.
but most have. So I really love the character. And she's... I do write introductions for Marvel for some of their hardcover
mm-hmm.
collections. I'm not currently working in their comic book, you know, with the actual comic books. I'm not sure I would fit in with what Marvel is doing. But among the characters that Marvel asked me to come back to, that I'd love to come back to, would be Misty Knight and Tigra, another character I created
yes.
for Marvel.
That's the... Tigra, we still need to see. Tigra needs to see, I've seen her in animated stuff and everything else, but we need to see a live-action Tigra.
Oh, I would love to see a live-action Tigra. Many, many years ago, when I had moved back to Ohio, and nothing was ever going to come of this, but I was contacted by a young actress,
mm-hmm.
Not a good actress, but a notorious actress, who wanted me to write a Tigra screenplay that she would then shop around. And, of course, my first question was, well, what would I get paid for this?
Yeah.
She would respond by sending me boxes of nude photographs of her.
Well, then.
And invitations to move in with her and hints that she had a very small house and that we'd have to share a bed. And I was thinking, oh my God, this actress is so dumb. She does want to sleep with the writer.
Wow.
And so I knew nothing was ever going to come of that, but it's what I've run into over the years.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people who think they can con writers into working for free. A lot of people, you know, of course, the endless parade of people who say, I have a great idea for a book. If you do all the hard work on it, I'll give you half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of those.
Stuff like that. So, I'm not saying I never got taken, but I got to be wary of that early on.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the power of getting higher up in places. That stuff always tends to happen to you. Always.
Yeah.
Now, I heard...
Yeah, go ahead.
No, you go first, because I'm going into something else here. Just, you go.
it's been a long career, and there have been ups and downs.
Yeah.
But overall, I look at, you know, the fans I've entertained, the readers I've entertained, what my work has meant to them, the friends I've made, both professionally and among the fans. Right now, it's a great time to be me.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So, you know, my wife Barbara and my kids, who have suffered with me through the bad times, I'm now able to share with them the good times.
Yeah.
A few years back, I was invited to Comic-Con in San Diego and brought the entire family, who were treated wonderfully by the Comic-Con staff. I got a Inkpot Award.
Oh, wow.
I've taken Barb recently. Barb came to me to the East Coast Black Age of Comics convention in Philadelphia. saw me get the award. Earlier this year, I was a guest at PensaCon, and Pensacola is a wonderful town for that convention. The whole town gets behind the show. And so I took Barb there. So my family is getting to see now the nicer part, you know, the better parts of my comics career.
Yeah, because...
And that's really a joy to me, to be able to share that with my wife and kids.
Yeah.
My kids are grown.
Mm-hmm.
Both graduates of the Ohio State University who got jobs in their chosen field almost immediately. My son, Eddie, will travel to me to convention with... need to conventions occasionally. We do every year. We go to G Fest, which is the big Godzilla convention in Chicago.
Oh, dream to go!
I'm a huge Godzilla fan, and you know, it's a wonderful, wonderful convention. So Eddie and I drive up to Chicago every July for this. Have a great day time in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
He tries to eat his weight in Italian beef sandwiches. And we do little side things. We saw the Cubs. Last year, we went and saw the Cubs while we were in town. And Wrigley Field, just a beautiful field.
Yes.
Real hometown baseball team field. I go to these conventions, and very often, you know, at least one member of the family will come with me and get to see Dad, you know, signing autographs and things like that.
Yeah. See the good times that have been well deserved to, and they deserve to see the good times too. Because I mean, we don't have to go into the bad, but like they stuck through the bad, so that means like here's the good things for you. Like you deserve this sort of thing. Speaking of which, of you being a big Godzilla fan, I myself am a big fan. If the fact of me having a giant monster audio movie is coming out soon does not prove that fact.
No.
That's like that should really prove it right then and there. But I have a question. Do you know the new anime that's coming out? I've been wanting to ask some fans about this, what they think. Have you seen anything about it? If so, what do you think?
Oh, the Godzilla anime?
Yeah.
I have seen a trailer for it. I'm looking forward to it. What's been happening lately is that Black Lightning and related matters keep me so busy.
Yeah.
That I can't spend a lot of time on some of the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I am as I find time, I have a movie studio that would like me to join their writers pool, and they do a lot of cheesy monster movies and horror movies and including giant monster movies, and I would love to find the time to join their writers pool. I haven't been able to do that yet.
I'm backing you up.
go ahead.
Oh, I'm backing you up on that one. I hope you get that. I hope sometime you get the time to do that, because that sounds amazing.
Well, I've got the publisher of the July 1963 book will literally publish any book I want to write. I'm working on a book on diversity in comics. It'll be like Black Lightning and my journey through diversity in comics. He wants to do my memoirs, which will be more like memoirs of sorts, because I don't want to try to do an autobiography. I just want to do a couple of books telling some of the more interesting stories from my career. I'm going to do a collection of my cheesy monster movie reviews, which I do in my blog, and which are a lot of fun. I don't ask a lot of monster movies and horror movies.
No, yeah.
I basically ask that they bring me back to when I was 12 years old, watching the great Ernie Anderson as Goulardi, hosting monster movies like The Black Scorpion and Godzilla, and movies like that, Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Classic.
Invasion of the Crab Monsters, those kind of movies. And so all I ask from these cheesy monster movies and horror movies is that they entertain me for a couple of hours. And the range of what anytime I see a shark movie, I like have to have it.
Yeah.
And one of my unexpected favorites were Sleepaway Camp number 2 and 3, with Bruce Springsteen's sister just chewing up the scenery like nobody's business. But they're fun.
Yeah, well,
and,
yeah.
And like I expect, I know how to write what I think are great comic books.
Mm.
So I might be harder on comic books. I don't really know how to do movies and TV. So I'm a lot more lean with those.
Yeah, I'd still pay to see whatever. I'll keep track of that news and whenever I see it. But who knows, maybe sometime down the road, any publishers listening right now, when the man gets time, maybe you can write a Godzilla book. Who knows? They don't have any going on right now.
I have a dream Godzilla comic book I want to write.
Oh, God.
A 12-issue adaptation of both Gojira and Godzilla King of the Monsters. Putting them together, expanding on details just hinted at, such as Serizawa's was probably a war criminal.
Yeah.
And that's probably one of the reasons he's so haunted. I decided that Raymond Burr and the Japanese officer that accompanies them are probably a couple. Because, of course, Raymond Burr was gay in real life. And I thought, well, that would be nice if the two of them, you know, came away from the Gojira experience and found each other.
Yeah.
But I would like to do a 12-issue adaptation of those two movies smushed together that have all the political content of Gojira, a window in for the American audience, where they could, you know, as Raymond Burr provided in Godzilla King of the Monsters, and that would be my dream Godzilla project, wow, to do that. I've been unable to convince any publisher to do it.
Yet. I'd say give it some time with things building up, but give it some time to be like, we want Tony Sabella. We need this man here. He'll bring great things to us. I can see that. I can see that. That's my dream for it, is that to happen. I hope. I don't know if you can say this or not, but maybe is there a chance, going back to the Black Lightning show, are you maybe cameoing, having a cameo in it at all during the series?
That's been discussed. When it's brought up, I generally make jokes about it, like maybe we can hire Stan Lee to play me. I think if I'm on the set and they ask me to do it, then I'll probably say yes, even though the thought of it terrifies me. The writers have strongly suggested that I pitch an episode for the second season.
Ooh.
Which is something I'd like to do. It's just this crazy life I'm in right now, and I'm trying to do as much as I can, but I'm not as, you know, I'm 66 years old, so
yeah.
I'm not quite as fast as I was even 20 years ago.
Hey, I bet you could still do some good work.
I'm trying to make room for all of it.
Yeah. Yeah, oh yeah, just do as much as you can. Don't wear yourself out now. We don't want to hear anything bad medically happen. We don't want that. Right? Like, the Black Lightning show premiered. Oh, Tony Sabella in the hospitalized. Like, oh, damn it.
Well, I'm enjoying it. I mean, yeah. On the Black Lightning comic book, I can't believe how much DC has asked me to be involved and allowed me to be involved.
Yeah.
I see the artwork. Every page of the artwork, as it's finished, gets sent to me. I go over the coloring. I go over the lettering. I work with them on cover designs. I write some of the solicitation copy for the book. They're really involving me in every phase of the Black Lightning comic book. DC's publicity department, especially Clark Bull, have been setting up interviews, and really, you know, a lot of publicity departments, they want to control everything. DC, you know, they set up interviews for me, and they're perfectly fine with me, you know, doing interviews that they have nothing to do with.
Mm-hmm.
Just to kind of circle this around to the beginning before we end this, I think I told you earlier that my first black friends were comic book fans.
Yeah.
Well, one of those three black friends is a guy named Dennis Knowles, who is a producer at WVIZ-TV, the local TBS station. Dennis produces the Arts and Culture show that our local station does every week.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis came out to the house, Dennis came out to the house and filmed a segment for this show with me. So that's going to be appearing on the local TBS station. Dennis, next weekend, mm-hmm. in Akron, Ohio, the Akron Comic-Con, is November 4th and 5th, and they will be celebrating 40 years of Black Lightning with me, with Trevor Von Eden, the original artist, with mm-hmm. Jack C. Harris, our original editor, with Eddie Newell, who drew my 90s series, and with Mike W. Barr, who wrote Black Lightning and Black Lightning and the Outsiders. And Dennis will be coming to that convention to get a little bit more footage for this segment on his Arts and Culture show.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of nice, reconnecting with an old friend like that.
Wow, yeah.
At the same time, the local CW station, WBNX, BNX, I think that's right, they've been great about Black Lightning. They're setting up at the convention, as they have been doing for a few years since they started showing shows like Arrow and Supergirl and The Flash.
Mm-hmm.
They set up next to us, and they will have Black Lightning bling, you know, posters.
Oh.
One convention we did together, they had a poster of Cress Williams in the Black Lightning suit, and they were giving those out and then sending people over to my table, and I must have signed over 200 of those. During the course of, I was so busy signing that I never really got away from my table for the entire show.
Damn.
And the CW, WBNX, and also the Grand Rapids, Michigan CW station, they want to do some additional Black Lightning publicity
mm-hmm.
with me. We'll probably film a bunch of segments in Cleveland, and then those will be sent to other CW stations. Black Lightning has created new relationships for me. It's, you know, I always gave the character my all, and now I feel like I'm still doing that, but the character is giving so much back to me, especially in recent years, that it has been and remains the proudest moment of my professional life.
Wow. That is a good note right there. That is, yeah, I can't say anything that will go off of that. Wow. Like, that is a great achievement to have. And the nice part is, too, it will live on. Like, it will, Black Lightning will always be there, will always continue on, too. Misty Knight, Tigra, always going to live on. Black Lightning now, like, who knows? Maybe it will have 4 seasons. Who knows? I'm crossing fingers it does.
The Salim and Marv Rocketeel have never done a show that lasted less than 5 years.
Oh, well then, yeah.
So I'm thinking that what I've seen of Black Lightning,
mm-hmm.
it's great. All the CW superhero shows are fun and edgy, but yes. They're kind of fantasy edgy.
Yeah.
Black Lightning is real world edgy.
Oh, yes.
And I think that's really going to resonate with the viewers.
Yeah. Yeah, we need something like that. We love, I'll give it, yeah, love stuff like that. We love here, like, we do love the fantasy too, but we love the, like, the real street kind of level sort of thing, like the real grounded almost, you could say. But I'm hoping, one last thing before we go, Tony, is if anybody out there on production is listening to this, hopefully, at the end of season 1 filming, and if it's not needed or it can disappear, perhaps a Black Lightning mask or something like that can disappear and fall into this man's lap.
Who knows? knows?
Yeah, I'm hoping though. You deserve something. I hope they give you something of the suit. You know, I'm really hoping.
You know, we'll see what happens. See what happens. I mean, I'm thrilled to be even a small part of that show. You know, their unofficial head cheerleader and answer questions when I can. I'm really looking forward to seeing this show.
Yeah. Can't wait to see me and see your name in the credits. And hopefully they put you in the beginning credits of, like, Black Lightning created by Tony Isabella. That'd be pretty cool, too.
Well, the official credit line is Black Lightning created by Tony Isabella with Trevor Von Eden.
Ah.
I realize with is vague. And people will interpret it in different ways. I know how I interpret it. But you know, Trevor will also be, you know, included in the credits.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Give credit where it's due and such.
And I know that because I'm the guy who wrote the credit
line. Oh well, yeah, then yeah, I'd say that's a for sure thing then. Wow. Well, thank you for coming on, good man. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for taking the time, because, like you talked about, your schedule is pretty busy.
When you get this online, let me know, because then I'll plug it on my, you know, on my social media all over the place.
Yeah, I'll be sure to tag you too.
Thank you for inviting me.
No problem.
I've enjoyed this conversation, and I hope your listeners enjoy it as well.
Oh, if they don't, then they're fools. Thank you, good man. You enjoy the rest of your day, okay?
Thank you. You take care.
Thank
you. Bye-bye.
Bye. That was Tony Isabella, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining me on this fantastic issue of Comic Chronicle. As always, you can find me at DakotaMorgan3 on Twitter, or at RealFanCorp for the official FanCorp Network social media pages on Instagram and Twitter, and the FanCorp Network on Facebook. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure you subscribe to the show as well, to listen, as always, to your favorite comic book companies and everything. You know what I'm talking about. You know, ladies and gentlemen, you know. So thank you for joining me today. Make sure you follow Tony Isabella on Twitter, too, to stay in touch with everything Black Lightning. And be sure to catch Misty Knight in Luke Cage Season 2. And also, make sure you watch the premiere of Black Lightning. So thank you, Tony, for coming on. And just stay classy, everybody. Thank you.